Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's Eagles 360. I'm insider Dave Spadaro at the NovaCare Complex on this Tuesday. The Eagles back to work getting ready for Monday night's game against the Oakland Raiders, understanding that a win by the Eagles clinches home field advantage in the NFC playoffs. Of course, the Eagles could go into Monday night knowing that they've already got the number one seed locked up should the Packers beat the Vikings on Saturday. But we'll just take a win over the Raiders on Monday and lock things up that way. We've got a great show for you today. We've got Doug Peterson in just a bit coming into the studio to talk about his 12-2 Eagles. But first, we want to do a little tape study. Quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo and Ike Reese breaking down what else. Quarterback Nick Foles steps into the lineup and throws four touchdown passes against the Giants. How do you do it? Let's find out.
Hurts in motion. Back to the near side. Foles back again. Looking, he's looking, he is firing, and it is caught. Alshon Jeffrey, touchdown.
Joining us for this week's tape study, one of my favorites, Coach John DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach for the Eagles. Coach, this red zone offense, I think best in the NFL, proved itself to be this past week versus the Giants. Four touchdown passes down there. Walk us through all four of them here.
First off, as you guys know, I get excited about talking red zone football. So this is really, really neat for me. When you're down in the red zone, especially inside the 10, okay, you want to displace the defense. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I want to displace the defense, okay, by either picking them or threatening them vertically, all right? And this is a pick concept, which we have right here. So you're going to see Zach Ertz go in what we call peel motion here. So we want to give the quarterback a man zone indicator. If no one goes with Zach right here like he is, we know they're in zone coverage. So right now you're going to see Mac Hollins run a corner route right here to the back pylon. You're going to see Nelson Aguilar here run what we call a crossing route right here. Zach Ertz is going to run to the flat. Now, that being said, let's just talk about this side of the play first. If it was man coverage, we're trying to build a wall here with two players, like I said, to displace the defense here with a pick to the flat. Backside, we have a halfback wide here by J.H.I., and then here with Alshon Jeffrey, we have a what we call a red line, back line dagger. So he wants to leave himself 2 yards from the back of the end zone because the receiver has to stay in bounds. If he steps out of bounds now, that's going to be an illegal touching if he's the first person to touch the ball. So he has to leave himself 2 yards from the back end line. So as you see the play go on here, the quarterback knows it's zone. We call this a pure progression read. So he's going to exhaust the left side first. You see the Giants, outside leverage, outside leverage. So Nick's going to work his way back here. We got the wide route here to control Landon Collins right there to widen that hole right there. Now, the route adjustment here by Alshon, as you can see, this is a built-in route adjustment we had, and we knew this was going to be a chance for us against the Giants. If the defender is trying to run the route for me on the dagger and is going to undercut me, we have the option now to turn and go back and still stay in 2 yards from the back end line. Now, as you can see playing it here, he does a great job of throwing the corner bite, staying in bounds, and doing a great job. And we talk about red zone football all the time. The back of the end zone is the least defended part of the field, and we like throws face mask or higher.
Pass protection was there as well to give Nick time to go through all his proper reads and
no
make
doubt.
That throw.
Whenever you're working what we call left to right, right to left reads, which in this case it's we're working left to right, we're exhausting the left side first and going back, you got to have these guys up front. And look how clean that pocket is, and it allows Nick to reset his feet and throw an accurate ball face mask or higher.
Thanks very much, guys. Time now for Glenn Mack now in studio. Takeaways from Sunday's game against the Giants, an easy win up at MetLife Stadium.
Had it all the way.
Yeah, piece of cake.
Start with the good news.
Okay.
Nick Foles was the good news, I thought. He came in for the first time starting this year. He threw four touchdowns. There were times where he looked a little bit out of sync with the wide receivers, and I think that's to be expected. You don't have the rhythm down. You didn't get the first unit reps all during the year, so that's going to take a little time. But he was calm in the pocket. He made a couple of moves, you know, got out of pressure every once in a while. He got rid of the ball quickly. I thought that it was as good as you could hope for with him coming in. Look, he was the best backup in the league, maybe other than Jimmy Garoppolo, who's no longer a backup. For the Eagles to have him to step in is a fortunate thing in this situation.
Agreed with you, Glenn. And here's the question. Are you surprised?
No, I am not surprised. You're losing the most valuable player in the league, so you're losing something. But you're getting a guy who, to me, if you were to take all the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, I think he'd be kind of in the middle. So it's as good a recovery as you could hope for,
okay.
Right? I mean,
so two thumbs up
for Nick Foles.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay, no thumbs up for the defense, Dave. Right. It was disappointing. It was a little scary. There were mental mistakes. There were penalties. There were breakdowns. There was poor tackling, which we've seen for the last few weeks, having not seen it through November. That is not something you want to see going down the stretch. 504 yards, 29 points to the third worst offense in the league. Maybe it's the result of three straight road games. I know they were exhausted. I'm sure you were exhausted. I wasn't playing defense. Yeah, right. but you've seen now over the last few weeks teams running these rub routes, right? These pick plays.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're and the Eagles are not adjusting to that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now that it's kind of become on tape so that everybody sees it, right? Mm-hmm. Any team now plotting against the Eagles is going to say like, "Oh, well, we can do this." It's Jim Schwartz has a week to really adjust to this thing. Really, a couple of weeks, but
yes,
But you want to see this stop now against Oakland. I thought the defense was better in the second half, but
yes.
The Giants still were down at the 8-yard line at the end with a chance to win the game.
Can I give you my wrap on that?
Please.
I agree. I wanted to expand on the second half. Only 6 points allowed. Still not where you want. You wanted to shut down the New York Giants. Here's my theory: if the front four does not get to the quarterback, as it is with every defense, the back seven will struggle.
Yeah.
And Eli made it impossible for the front four to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, just got rid of the ball.
Now, will other teams play that up-tempo? Because that's all that matters, what happens moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Will other teams play that up-tempo, get the football out quickly? Maybe, and adjustments will have to be made. Underneath adjustments will have to be made.
And moving ahead, so in the playoffs, you're going to play against
potentially
Drew Brees or
Cam Newton. Cam Newton isn't dropping back.
Cam Newton is. They've done well against Cam Newton. Matt Ryan, you're going to play against good quarterbacks, so adjustments need to be made.
Okay.
All right.
Agree with you on that.
All right. Number three. It was nice, by and large, to see special teams be special again. It's kind of a mixed bag. Donnie Jones had a couple of curious punts, I thought. The Najee Good penalty on 4th and 4 was, boy, that was a bad penalty. But a blocked extra point, a blocked field goal, a blocked punt, first time it has happened in the NFL, I'm sure you know this.
1991.
Buffalo Bills. Right, way back then. And that's really something that saved their bacon. Particularly, let's just give kudos to Derek Barnett, who... he's not getting a ton of sacks as a rookie, right? And we thought, like, oh, he's going to have 10 sacks. But, boy, he's a valuable player.
Two block kicks this year, plays hard. I thought Donnie Jones bounced his way to a really good day. Averaged 46.8 yards.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
He got some nice rolls.
But you do see the importance of special teams. Still, you know what we haven't seen, Glenn, this year? Other than that Arizona game, the big return in the punt game. Teams have done a really good job limiting the Eagles with Darren Sproles not back there.
I was going to say, we talked about the injuries, right? How you survive the injuries. Sproles got hurt so early on that we don't really talk about him that much, and the running game has been good. But, yeah, those punt returns.
I guess here's my final question on your takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
In 3 weeks, how much of the Giants game will we be talking about?
None.
Exactly.
None.
So that's kind of what it means at this point in the season.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Glenn McNeil's takeaways from Sunday's win over the New York Giants. We've got more to get to here on Eagles 360. When we come back, head coach Doug Peterson joins me in studio. This portion of Eagles 360 was brought to you by McDonald's. McDonald's introduces the new Buffalo Bacon Signature Crafted Recipe. Enjoy this sandwich on your choice of buttermilk crispy chicken, grilled artisan chicken, or quarter pound beef patty. I'm loving it.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Time now for our weekly one-on-one with head coach Doug Peterson, presented by Wawa. Coach, I first want to talk about the road, which was not kind to the Eagles last year. 1-7. This year, the Eagles 6-2 on the road. A huge reason that this team is 12-2.
It is a huge reason, and it's something that we addressed even in the offseason when the guys got back in April, that we had to make sure that we took care of business on the road. You know, and just like you said, we didn't do it a very good job a year ago, and you learn from that, though. You know, and the players have learned each and every week from not only mistakes but also from successes, and we've had our share of difficulties. Obviously, this last three-game road stretch was not an easy stretch for our players and coaches, but to be 2-1 is something to be proud of to even this late in the season.
After 14 games last year, the Eagles were not going to go to the playoffs. You said, let's win these last two games. Let's have it carry over into 2017. Beat the Giants, beat the Cowboys. And I'm not sure a lot of people on the outside believe that would have any impact on 2017. Do you think it helped?
Yes. I do think that helps. I just think it gives you momentum going into the offseason. That's the last thing that you remember, is winning those two games at the end of the season. And now here we are at the last two games of the season, and really none bigger than this Monday night because of the implications as it has for us even in the postseason. So, it's a big opportunity for our players, for our organization. Also to go from 12-2 to 13-2 would be something pretty special. And that's going to be the message all week long.
Sunday was another close game victory, a one-possession win for the Eagles after, again, going back to last year, kind of putting 1-1 together here. 1-6 last year in one-possession, one-score games. This year, that's totally turned around. Why do you think that is?
Again, I think we just learn. I think you learn from that. The team has matured. Playmakers, are making plays. It's not always pretty, as the case on Sunday afternoon. But the guys it's a resilient group, and they're finding ways to pull these wins out and making plays at the end of the game and just doing what it takes to find a way to win. And it's exciting, but at the same time, I kind of wish it was a little bit bigger margin of victory. But, hey, a win is a win.
You take away Carson Wentz, the Eagles, who lead the league in scoring, go out and score 34 points. As a group, what went well for the offense on Sunday?
Well, I think you have to start with Nick. I really do. I the way he practiced all week and he paid attention to his details and focused in on the game plan, played exceptionally well. You know, no turnovers, which is what you want your quarterback to do. Didn't have that big mistake in the game. You know, and then really – offensive line. I thought Chance, hasn't played in a while, came in and played a nice job. Big V, over there with number
Vernon.
54
yeah.
with
yeah.
Vernon. He's a special player, and he did a nice job in the game. And that offensive line just kind of took it upon themselves that they were going to kind of take charge of this football game. And so that's kind of how the game unfolded, for us offensively and to kind of keep us. We didn't start the game, obviously, defensively the way we wanted to, but offensively did enough to keep us in the football game and eventually win it at the end.
How did Nick build such chemistry so quickly? It's not easy throwing the football up and allowing, for example, Nelson Agholor to make plays. That chemistry takes some time, and he didn't have any time to develop that.
He didn't, and it's just trust. It's just trust with his receivers. And, even the first play of the game, which is a designed run, and you talk about RPOs and Nick can't run the RPOs and all that. Well, that was an RPO, and they nickel blitzed us, came off the edge, and he hit Alshon for 12 yards. And, so those are the things those are timing throws. Those are things that, from a quarterback's perspective, you just sort of you've got to anticipate it, but you got to rep them. And, Nick hasn't had a ton of rep with our guys. And then for Alshon to make the catch and to go another 12 yards was a great play to start the game. And it's just trust. It's just trust in your players and spending time with them as much as you can during the week and building that rapport.
Doug, what are you seeing on defense?
Well, it's not lack of effort. We're seeing some mental mistakes being made. We're seeing penalties a little bit that are starting to show up, starting to creep up. And the way we started the game is obviously not the defense that we've seen all season long. Now did they rebound and have a great second half of the game? Yes, they did, and they played extremely well in the second half. And that's the type of defense that we're used to in shutting down the run. And I know, Eli came out, and it was all quick passing, and it was RPOs, and double moves and they had some pick routes, and that's what they do. And really, I think for the Giants, it was a matter of if we're going to win this football game, we got to do it this way. And they pretty much went up tempo the entire football game. You know, our defense, struggled to start, but really came on at the end, made plays when they had to, and then shut them down inside the 10-yard line there for the ultimate win.
So that's been the question all week. So do you feel concerned about the defense? Do you feel like it's just a matter of getting the breath back and getting back on track?
You know, it is just a matter of getting back on track. But listen, it's tough. We've been on the road now for 3 weeks, and this was our third. You know, I asked the team to commit for 3 weeks, and last Sunday was the third week. It was the final, of that 3 week stretch, and you know, the West Coast trip and the swing, and then driving up to New York. And listen, anytime the Giants and the Eagles play, you just take the records away. Take all the records away. It's going to be one of those grudge matches. It always is. And sometimes you can look at the record. Oh, you see 2-11 and 11, and you see all that kind of stuff, and that might play on your psyche a little bit. But those are the things you have to guard against. And again, our football team found a way, and really proud of the guys.
You know what's really impressive to me? The Eagles, you give up a blocked punt in Los Angeles, and then you go, all right, we think we can get better on special teams. We're going to sign Brian Braman. And then Brian comes in. He's active on Sunday, figured in some of the success that special teams had. You block three kicks. There's no – this season, Doug, it's been like every single issue has been addressed, and everybody's bought in. It's been such a positive outcome.
It really has, and you're right. When the players buy in, and really what I'm starting to see now, what I'm starting to hear more than anything, are the players are sort of repeating the same messages amongst themselves. So the things that I'm saying in a meeting, they're repeating amongst themselves, and even out into the public, into the media, and that's when you know guys have really bought into what we're doing and buying into the process and understanding that and trusting each other and trusting the coaches and coaches trusting players. And, again, if you're going to have three block kicks in a game, special teams stepped up huge. And Derek Barnett, Malcolm, and Camus all had impacts, obviously on special teams. And, a big reason why we won the game.
So on Monday night, goal number three is out there. Goal number one, win the division. Goal number two, get a bye week. Goal number three, let's clinch home field advantage. How big is this on Monday night, Coach?
It's extremely big. The entire week, the messaging is about that. It's about, hey, guys, we've checked two boxes. Let's get that third. And so it's full steam ahead. I know guys are beat up. I know guys are, this time of year, every team in the National Football League is hurting in week 16. But we've got to really dig down deep and sort of soul check ourselves a little bit, coaches and players, and make sure that I don't want to sacrifice a player, obviously. I don't want to put a guy that's hurt on the field. But at the same time, if somebody can give us quality minutes Monday night to win this football game, it would be a big boost. And then they get some time. And then we'll make decisions past this Monday based on what happens.
Good luck on Monday night. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Doug Peterson in studio, presented by Wawa. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Santander. Simply write checking from Santander Bank, the checking account that's convenient and gives you more control. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Visit one of our branches or santanderbank.com/simple to learn more and sign up today.
This isn't a city that waits for good things to happen. We make them happen. We're doing it right now. You can feel the renewed energy in Philadelphia. Energy that's strong, resilient. And every day, the men and women of PGW are out there, making it better. Building the future is hard work, but we're up to the task. We work for Philadelphia. Visit pgworks.com.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, He's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 Triple Play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
Hit the beach this spring with me, Dave Spadaro, and your favorite Eagles players and alumni. Travel to Mal Jade Riviera Cancun in Riviera Maya, Mexico, for a getaway full of special activities and VIP events. Packages include round-trip non-stop air, resort transfers, unlimited luxury hotel accommodations, plus all meals and drinks. Go to applevacations.com/eagles to book your trip today.
Welcome back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack now on this Tuesday. A long week for the Eagles as they get ready for Monday night and the Oakland Raiders Christmas night. A chance to clinch that home field advantage, which means something, Glenn. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
In just a bit. So we decided here, we talk about the offensive and defensive MVPs ahead of tonight's Pro Bowl announcements. There will be many, we expect, Eagles to be named to this Pro Bowl team. Hopefully they will not be able to play because the team will be ready to go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Pro Bowl, of course, is in Orlando, Florida this year. So Glenn has picked an offensive MVP. I have picked an offensive MVP, and we both, of course, picked defensive MVPs. Glenn Macnell, you have the first choice.
All right. No Carson Wentz, obviously.
Yes.
Right, we're taking that out of the mix.
That's too obvious.
That's the answer. That's the easy answer. So I'm going to go with Lane Johnson, who I think has been outstanding. Since last year, when he played partial season, the Eagles are 17-3 when Lane Johnson plays. He blasted away good opponents this year. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Olivier Vernon, Jason Pierre-Paul. His game against Von Miller, to me, stands out as just a great, great game that he had. And he's done it without extra help. I saw a stat today. I don't always believe Pro Football Focus, but this stat rings something to me. He has had help from a back or a tight end on just 15% of the pass blocks this year. Least of any offensive tackle in the league. And you know what? He's done it. The guy was the number 4 pick overall, had some issues, had the suspension. This year, I think, just has shined, had a great year. And while I'm doing it, let's give some credit to the two guys to his left. Both Brooks and Jason Kelsey, I think, have also been outstanding.
Yeah, can't argue with those choices. I'm going to go with in a little different direction. I'm going to go with a player who has been, well, he's been, last year, 2 years, just who is this guy? Can't play. First round pick. What a bust. Here's my pick for offensive MVP in the non-Carson Wentz category. Mm-hmm. How about Nelson Agholor and his ability and the way he has grown up in year number 3 and the way he's become a big playmaker and he's scored touchdowns and he's done everything the Eagles want him to do as a big-time pass catcher. So I'm going to go with Nelson Agholor, slot receiver, the most dynamic Eagle with the football in his hands after a reception. I think his growth has expanded greatly this Eagles offense and has made this Eagles offense very difficult to match up against.
The catch in the end zone against the Giants was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
And Dave,
been doing it all year.
There's a phrase that I've never heard you use, but I think it applies. Chunk plays.
Chunk plays. Glenn, you can't win with a run game only.
No, you need the chunk
guts to throw the football. All right, defensive MVP.
Defensive MVP, I'm going to go Brandon Graham, who has, for several years, been an outstanding player, but didn't put up the stats, the numbers. This year, he has now got 9.5 sacks. He's going to have the double-digit sacks, end up with 11 or 12. Absolutely should be named to the Pro Bowl and will be. The 2 forced fumbles, the touchdown at the end of the game against the Rams, to me, just was such a nice kind of exclamation point for him. The tackle late against the Giants for the loss, I thought really was, you know, one of the key defensive plays of the season. Just a great player and, you know, a great guy to have around your team. To me, Brandon Graham, this is his year to get the recognition.
Okay. Again, can't argue with that one. But I will say this. The Eagles defense, number 1 in the NFL in rushing defense, right?
Yeah.
You can't run against the Eagles. You know why? Because Fletcher Cox is having a dominating season. So he is my defensive MVP. Week in, week out, he's been able to really control the middle of the line of scrimmage. He's teamed beautifully with Timmy Jernigan. The two of them, dynamic 1-2 punch. I think moving forward here in the playoffs,
a dominating Fletcher Cox means that this Eagles defense is going to be just fine. Fletcher Cox, my defensive MVP.
All worthy players.
Yeah. So when you're 12-2, you have a lot of candidates. Names. You can't go wrong. That's kind of where we are. So those are our MVPs. All right. Something
more fun than doing it last
year. Let's shift to something entirely different now. All right. Let's go with a little Santander Legend of the Week.
Okay.
Former Eagles players. We caught up with one of them out in California when the Eagles were practicing, getting ready for the Rams. Our Santander Legend of the Week, former Eagles safety, Rashard Cook. Rashard, you were part of the Andy Reid early days, building a team into a championship team. Keys to success for a young team.
I think having a coach like Andy, and I think Doug come from his system and kind of have his ways and kind of know exactly what he wants to do, excuse me, and developing the players, I think, and developing the chemistry and the teamwork, I think that's the most important part.
Memories of Jim Johnson and what made him so great as a defensive coordinator?
I think the biggest thing about Jim is he figured out a way to use every single player. He played to your strengths. He figured out ways to not put you in bad situations. And we saw a lot of changes in that. And you're seeing a lot of people doing similar things that he's doing right now with some of his complicated blitz schemes and finding the mismatches and really being more aggressive on defense.
Ryan Dawkins is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I would imagine that you believe he should be there.
Oh, I believe 100%. I think first ballot Hall of Famer, but not just on the field, but just off the field. I think you have an opportunity to be around him enough, and I don't think the fans understand that how much of a great guy he is off the field more so than on the field. So if you take everything he did on the field, I think his numbers speak for themselves, the way he impacted the game, and now you got guys coming out, the younger guys wanted to play like him, I think. So I think definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer.
What was it like getting to the NFC Championship game in those seasons and having so much success?
It would be nice to get over the hurdle. I think we went to 3 straight NFC Championship games, got hurt the year they went to the Super Bowl, so didn't make it that year. But it would have been nice to make it, but I think you still look back now as you get older, it's still an accomplishment. Every year you have to go back in, you start 0-0, and you start over, and everybody's gunning for you, and still make a run every single year. I don't think it's nothing to really complain about.
Memories of playing in Philadelphia with the fans, with the intensity, and with all the W's?
The first thing is the Vet. So I played in the Vet, also had an opportunity to play at Lincoln Financial, but Vet Stadium, the bumps and bruises and kind of old rundown stadium, but it was kind of who we were in Philadelphia, just kind of a hard-working city, and the fans were always amazing, whether it was 0 degrees or hot or whatever it was, the fans were there, they're screaming and yelling, they were always loud, so that's probably the fondest memory.
Your career derailed with the injury. What message would you give to young guys who maybe take this for granted?
I think that's the big key is don't take it for granted. It could be any day. I think I got hurt. When I really got hurt, I was running down on a play. It was a non-contact injury. And come to find out, had some damage inside structurally with the knee, and that pretty much ended the career. So I think taking it day by day, really embracing it, and I think guys are starting to a little bit more as they see, you know, there's been some horrific injuries around the league, and guys starting to see that. So hopefully they're taking it, you know, day by day and really taking it in.
Thanks, Rashard. Rashard Cook, our Santander Legend of the Week. During this long week, I want to get you, make sure you understand what's happening here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our official app. It's our Amorosos on the Menu segment for you for Wednesday. We've got Vinny Curry all mic'd up from that Eagles-Giants game, a man who doesn't say a lot, but when he speaks, we catch it on the microphone.
Good.
Mike Quick joins me for our first look at the Eagles and the Raiders on Monday nights. And John DeFilippo, Eagles quarterback coach, he's in studio. He's done a pretty good job.
He's done a really good job.
33 touchdown passes for Carson Wentz. Nick Foles walks in, 4 touchdown passes.
Yeah, how about that?
That's our Amorosos on the Menu segment for you. Your thoughts, Glenn? As the Eagles get to this, so they've accomplished two of the 3 goals. Win the division.
Yeah.
Get a bye. And now home field advantage for the first time since when? 2004.
2004, right.
Yeah. What happened that year?
They went to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Right. I don't remember what happened after that.
Thank you.
Clearly, we like them to play the Raiders. The Raiders are a team that had a disappointing loss to the Cowboys on Monday night, puts them in, they're kind of dead, so I don't know what they're playing for. They've lost their best offensive lineman over the last week. But you want to see the Eagles' defense rebound. Derek Carr's a capable quarterback. Just want to see a nice, smooth, I don't want to say easy game because that's not fair, but a clean game.
Isn't it interesting, the Eagles 6-0 at Lincoln Financial Field. Five of those wins have been by double digits. I mean, they have not only won at home, they have dominated at home. And I just think, Glenn, that this is an X factor that is going to be very important in the playoffs. Crowd's been into it.
Oh, the crowd has been great. Hey, the crowd has been great on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd was great in Los Angeles again, and New York.
Dallas was crazy.
Dallas,
Washington
too.
Game one.
Yeah, they've had a lot of home
Carolina,
games this year.
Yeah, it's really been great. So thank you for all of your support, and thank you for joining us today. Happy holidays to you, Glenn,
thank
and yours.
You.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Eagles 360. I'm back tomorrow with Mike Quick in studio. We've got a great show for you then. Make sure you're with us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our official app as the Pro Bowl is announced tonight. Thanks so much, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.